It might have been Ronald Reagan who told this story. It seems to be from about that time period that I remember it. But there were a group of scientists who were trying to figure out how you could tell an optimistic child from a pessimistic child. And so they took a child that they believed to be a pessimistic child, and they brought him into this room. And the only thing the child could see in the room was a mountain high, high in the middle of the room of horse manure. Immediately, the pessimistic child looked at the pile of horse manure, sat down in a corner, and began to cry. The scientists took their notes, nodded to one another, yes, pessimistic child. Then they brought a child known to be an optimistic child into the same room. There was this huge pile of horse manure, and as soon as she got into the room, the optimistic child smiled and ran to the pile of manure and began grabbing it and throwing the manure over her head, and she continued to weigh into it, and the scientists didn't know what to do. Was she or was she not optimistic? And they stopped her, and they said, "Little girl, what are you doing?" And she said, "With all this horse manure, there's bound to be a pony in there somewhere." This is an optimistic table talk that's full of manure. Jesus told a story about a fig tree that was not producing figs. What do you call a fig tree that doesn't produce figs? What do you call a tree in a fruit orchard that doesn't produce fruit? What do you call a tree in a vineyard that is not producing vines? Well, as the parable goes, for 3 years this fig tree was not producing the figs that were intended for it to produce. The owner of the vineyard comes and says to the gardener, "For 3 years this plant has not been producing. Why, it's even taking up the soil that I need for my orchard. Cut it down." The gardener's got a little bit of a different take on it. The gardener says, "Well, hang on. What else might be done?" And so they agree that for 1 year they'll wait to see if that fig tree will produce fruit, and they spread manure around the base of it. Now, I have to tell you that a few weeks ago, I spent some time really looking at that Greek word and walking through the lexicons, because I thought to myself, it must not really be manure that they're talking about. They must mean Monsanto fertilizer. I get the point. It's right, fertilizing. And so I kept looking it up in all the different places that I found in the ancient Greek world that that word was used. It was used like dung, manure, excrement, sewage. You get the point. So we're putting manure around the fig tree. And as any good gardener knows, certain kinds of manure do wonderful things for certain kinds of plants. I got to thinking about, what does it mean for us in our own lives to produce fruit? What does it mean for us in the life of this congregation to be fruitful? Because the vineyard owner knew that he wanted figs so that they would produce, fig trees rather, so that they would produce figs. That was the point. Without the figs, there was no reason to be using up that space in the vineyard for that tree. And it makes sense, of course, doesn't it? I mean, what do you call a car salesperson who doesn't sell cars? What do you call a teacher who doesn't teach? What do you call an apple tree that doesn't produce apples? Well, if you're in an orchard, you might call them ready for some transformation or replacement, and that's exactly what the vineyard owner does. And so I wanted to think about, what is it that we in the life of this congregation would produce, could produce, have produced as fruit? One of the things that we've often produced as fruit in the life of our congregation is worship. We gather together to remember, to give thanks, to give praise, to celebrate our creative and redemptive and restorative God. And that's wonderful, but I know that worship is intended to encourage us for the production of fruit in so many other ways in the world. We've acknowledged as the why for this congregation, following the teachings of Jesus to sacrificially serve the most marginalized people. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we being as fruitful as we can be to serve a hurting and needy world? And if we're not, ought we be cut down, or is it time for a little manure? Well, for the last year and a half, we've been going through a process of asking precisely that question, if not with precisely those terms, perhaps. We've been asking ourselves, how fruitful are we, and how fruitful can we be with God's Spirit moving through us and with each of us sharing our gifts and working together? And what might we do to be even more fruitful? We've gotten to the point now where I think we're at the axe or manure moment in the life of the church. We're at a moment in the life of the church where we can look forward to the next year, year and a half, and say to ourselves, are we going to put some manure around our ministries and see what kind of fruit they'll produce? Or are we interested more in firewood or other pieces that might come from a non-producing tree? What would it mean to put manure on our ministry? It might not be a very pleasant picture for you, but please think about it as fertilizer. What would it mean to enhance our ministries, to fertilize them, to encourage us to new life? Because that's the point for the fig tree, right? The manure wasn't to drown the fig tree. The manure wasn't to discourage the fig tree. The manure was an investment in the fig tree. The manure was an act and a sentiment of hope for the future fruit of that fig tree. It was a catalyst for transformation. You might be thinking to yourselves, I didn't hear the word transformation in that text that was read this morning. I'm almost sure Marilyn didn't say transformation, but she did say something. She said repentance. And in the Bible, in the New Testament, the word that's often translated repentance isn't a word that means saying you're sorry. And those of you in the Jim Wallace book study remember that one of our chapters was repentance doesn't just mean saying you're sorry. Instead, it's a word, metanoia, that is all about transformation. It's about a change of mind, a change of heart, a change of how you experience the world, a turning. The manure in the story is a catalyst for transformation. What could catalyze transformation in our lives as those who are called to produce fruit? Because after all, the only reason you plant a fig tree in a fig orchard, if you're a fig grower, is so that that tree will produce fruit. And I agree with Emil Brunner, the German theologian of the 20th century, who said this, I would say, about the fruitfulness required of the church. He said that the church exists by mission, just as a fire exists by burning. Can you imagine a fire that doesn't burn? If a fire stops burning, you ain't got a fire no more, if you take my meaning. If the church stops doing mission, you ain't got a church no more. Apologies to my high school grammar teacher. So, what manure can we place in the lives of our congregation and its members and friends? I'd like to talk about a little of the horse manure I see around this place. I've been waiting 8 years to say that to you people. Let's get down to it. What kind of horse manure have I realized, have I seen, have I recognized in the life of this congregation? And by that I mean, what kinds of things that could be effective catalysts for transformation? Piece of horse manure number one. I've said this time and time again around town. This is one of the most interestingly overwhelmingly and sometimes embarrassingly talented congregations. We have people here who are musicians and educators and artists and engineers and attorneys and all kinds of other folks, and that's just in their professional lives. Then we've got people who know how to bake and give and take and build and pray and nurture and nourish. Folks, that's a bunch of horse manure. That's something that would change the future of this congregation if only we would apply it in the right place at the right time. And by the way, the parable says to us, the right time is now. But that's not all the horse manure I've noticed around here. You people are full of it. We've also got people who generously give financially to the life of this congregation, and when appropriately encouraged and challenged and directed, always respond generously. I think that's a bunch of horse manure. But that ain't all. We also have around us, for now, a beautiful, big building. Do you know that one of my ministerial colleagues was here at a meeting for Room at the Inn with me, and this is somebody of the Jewish faith who worships at one of the large Jewish congregations in our town, and said to me, how many families are a part of this congregation? And I said, boy, we don't always think about families as a number. And he said, well, for instance, my congregation has 1,600 families. How many does your have? I said, maybe 100. And he looked around and he said, but this building is so big and so beautiful. You only have 100 families? He didn't say it, but I was thinking, that's a bunch of horse manure. Think of all the wonderful ministry we could be doing with this building. This building sits mostly empty most of the time. Now, when it is full of people, they're doing great things. They're worshiping God. They're recovering from addictions. They're sharing together in hope. They're sharing food with one another. They're finding shelter. They're creating. Wonderful things happen. But again, this facility and its history and its location, horse manure. 100%. But there's more. Some of you might not come back next week when you hear this. I can't even believe I'm going to say it. The biggest load of manure, and I'm going to remind you what I mean by that, the biggest catalyst for ministry transformation is the Spirit of God in the name of Jesus Christ that works together through us here at Webster Groves Christian Church. Do you understand that we're at a moment where we have grown a tree that has wonderful fig wood? You know, fig trees can be pretty. Fig trees are part of a type of tree that sometimes grow multiple trunks and they weave in and out of one another. And when you see these trees, they're just incredible to look at. And some people have done incredible carving work with them. Oh, look at the twisting trunk there. It's a very figgish picture in many ways. They're just lovely. But the question that Jesus asked as he called for repentance, as he told that story about transformation, about the need for bearing fruit, was this: do we need more fig trees that don't bear figs? Or do we need more fruit in this world that hurts, that longs, that loves, that God has created and transforms? The answer the parable seems to give us is produce fruit. That's why you're here. Congregation, in the next few months, we're going to be meeting together more and more often to talk about the kinds of fruit we wish to produce as we encourage one another, engage in our mission of following the teachings of Jesus by sacrificially serving the most marginalized. At our last congregational roundtable, we looked at four areas that were identified by the Ferguson Commission's report, and we acknowledged that those were important ways to serve. We saw that racial equity was important as a deep and abiding commitment to caring for all people. And then we looked at three areas. We looked at, first, barriers and opportunities. Then we looked at systems and structures. Then we looked at children and their families. And together and talking and coloring and praying and speaking together with one another, we determined that we care about each of those things and that we really, really care about children and their families and that we almost as much care about removing barriers and creating opportunities for the most marginalized people and that we also thought it was very important to address systems and structures and politicians and governments. The question now is, how will we place our horse manure around our fig tree so the transformation can happen? Now think about your own spiritual life as well. What fruit are you producing? How is the world different because the Spirit of God is moving through your life and you've heard the call of Jesus Christ? How are those around you and in your community who are suffering, who need help, who are longing for community, being changed? How are you partnering with them? How are you offering them the presence of love and the redemption that you know? That's the way in which your life is receiving and giving fertilization to the world. That's the way in which you can produce fruit. I'm convinced and committed about the fact that if we truly want to produce fruit, and if we truly can receive the transformative manure that it will take to produce that fruit, that our soil will be renourished and strengthened, and that we will grow new vines, that we will produce new fruit, and we will serve the world in ways we've never even formerly imagined. Now, in the parable, I imagine at one time, years before, somebody planted that fig tree. And somebody did the math and said, you know what, if this fig tree produces the way I think it will, it'll produce this many figs and I'll make this much profit and then I'll need this many more fig trees because I've got this many acres. And somebody really worked hard for that tree to produce fruit. Somebody, decades ago, over a century ago, planted this congregation. People came together in a house over in Webster Groves on Tuxedo or nearby. It might have been Atlanta at that time. Over by the railroad tracks. And they prayed and they shared and they imagined and they envisioned. They didn't know what was going to happen, but they know that they were recipients of God's grace through Jesus Christ and they were called to bear fruit in the world and they got started. Those people, our forebears, knew that if they continued to produce fruit, and if they reached out to others around them, the production of fruit could continue on into the future. We are the recipients of their legacy, and we are called to produce fruit in the world so that others will see that fruit, will benefit from it, and as we praise God, they will know the love that we know in Jesus Christ. If you ask me, in a good way, that's a load of manure. It is a transformative, fertilizing, hopeful catalyst for transformation. This week, as you pray, as you work, as you play, as you share together, give thanks to God for the strong structures that have helped you to grow, and for the deep roots that you've established. And be prepared for transformation. What fertilizer, what manure will we welcome into our community life? How will we produce fruit? How will we not just worship God, but how will we embody God's Spirit in the work we do in our community? Our transformation can help to be a part of God's transformation of the whole world. And for that, thanks be to God.